The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
It's Hammer and Nigel Show. Hello, my name is Nigel. That's Hammer right over there with a special guest on the hotline.
Kevin Bowen does the morning show over at 107.5 The Fan. The wake-up call with KB and Andy. KB, last night, I was ready for that ball game. I woke up early. I drank mimosas. I spent my whole day planning around the playoff game. Bucks don't have Giannis. This is the Pacers' time to shine. And I'll be damned if I didn't even get 5 minutes out of that game. I didn't get 5 minutes of enjoyment out of that game last night, Kevin.
Well, I'm glad you started to drink, you know, once the sun rose. So, you know, at least you had that going.
That was my favorite part of the rant. You started your morning out with mimosas getting ready for a 7 o'clock p.m. Pacer playoff game.
Let the record clearly state I'm getting a lecture on my drinking from Nigel.
It was beyond ugly. I mean, Rick Carlisle used that word. I'm like, boy, that's honestly not giving ugly its proper definition. Just horrific, really, on both ends of the floor. And, yeah, very, very, very disappointing. You're reminded this franchise has now lost 10 straight playoff games,
wow,
which is just a wild, wild number. Obviously, that spans back several years and several series. But like you said, Hammer, I was optimistic. You know, it was a golden opportunity. For those unfamiliar with how the season's gone for Milwaukee, they're in some turmoil. They've had a soap opera filled year. They walked into that game where, you know, I think a lot of people were questioning exactly how they would look, how they would play. So to get run off the floor in the first half, beyond disappointing.
And it's one thing to lose, but at one point they were down by 30. Yeah. And I know Dame Lillard was getting off and he was doing playoff Dame things, but this Pacers team looked like they were scared to be there. Anybody not named Pascal Siakam seemed like that stage was too big for him yesterday.
Yeah, we did an exercise on our morning show today. Name me the second best Pacer player. And it was like, you know, name the most attractive Bowen. It was just impossible to try and do that. It was extremely embarrassing. And again, I just feel like this team, when they had been put in similar moments in the regular season, granted it is a different animal, you know, they had played pretty well in season tournament. You go back to the Miami game a few weeks ago, a game they really needed to clinch a playoff series spot. And you bring up Lillard and how great he was. Really, the biggest issue for me yesterday was when he went off the floor, Milwaukee dominated the game. It was wild to see the lead grow without Lillard on a couple of different occasions that I thought just continued to snowball for the Pacers. You look at this series, you think, all right, you've got to get him before Giannis gets back, assuming he does get back at some point in this series. And that's why yesterday was just such a massively missed opportunity.
Talk about the Tyrese Halliburton, the face of the franchise. Did he only get like 7 looks at the basket total? I mean, doesn't seem like he's been quite the same since that injury around the All-Star break.
Yeah, Miles Turner shooting the ball, I think it was 16 times. T.J. McConnell, I believe, was 13, and Tyrese Halliburton, 7. You don't need to be a math major to realize he can't have that. He's just got to be more assertive as a scorer. And he's a wonderful facilitator. He does a great job of getting others involved. But, you know, to the point Hammer was making earlier, guys look scared out there. I mean, if you watch the first couple of possessions, that would have made you go right to the liquor cabinet and be like, damn, like, this just looks nervy. It looks like the kid getting in for his first ever varsity minutes. I mean, it was just so, so nervy. And, you know, Halliburton, at least, you know, he's been on Team USA. And, yeah, this is the first playoff experience. But, you know, he's carried a heavy, you know, burden for this franchise. So, he's got to be more of an assertive scorer for you, because it can't be Siakam and just a bunch of random dudes that you're hoping and praying, you know, have the games of their lives in these bigger moments.
At one point, Pacers made it respectable. I think they cut it to 12 in the second half, but couldn't get any closer after that. 8 of 38 from 3 last night, KB. Jeez. If the Pacers just shoot a little better from 3, are they back in that thing?
Yeah, you know, part of me, I just could not drink the glass half full too much. I mean, you just said it right there. They cut it to 12 at one point. I'm like, I guess it's better than 30, what it was earlier. But, I don't know if you guys felt this way, but watching the second half, if you stayed with it, I kind of thought to myself, is this like an NFL game where the team's up 24 and the other team's in prevent defense and, you know, you just make your way down the field and you score a touchdown. You're like, all right, here we go. Thanks to build on for next week. It's like, well, you know, the effort maybe not the same as it was in the opening few minutes. Now, having said all that, I do expect the Pacers to bounce back. But the issue I have, again, goes back to pre-Giannis versus whenever he gets back into the series. If you believe he's going to be out for the first couple of games, then tomorrow night is your last chance to steal one on the road without him. Because game five, you would think by that point he's probably back. That would be Milwaukee's next home game. So, you know, yesterday was such, again, on paper, this terrific opportunity to try and get one, because Milwaukee has all this turmoil this season. They fire the head coach, questions about their star. They lost as the one seed last year in the opening round. If you jump on them early, I thought you could have all of a sudden stirred that Days of Our Lives pot even more. And now what do they do confidently? You know, what does that do for them heading into game two? Whereas, again, if you're the Pacers, outside of Siakam, there's not one player that could feel confident about their performance last night.
Kevin Bowen joining us from 107.5 The Fan. All right, let's shift gears to the Colts. It's NFL draft week. I believe the Colts are sitting at pick number 15. What are the needs here, KB? Who do we think may be on the board? Like, who's the wish list? What would you like to see?
Well, the need with a young quarterback is always support for him. And I think pass-catching support, you know, game-breaking guy, a wideout who can do some things with the ball in his hands, yards after catch type of guy, I think would really kind of complement what you have in that room. So I think you always start there when you have a young quarterback, you know, finding the T.Y. Hilton to Andrew Luck, you know, finding that, you know, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison for Peyton Manning, that sort of guy. And then on the flip side defensively, yes, they've gone team run it back. They bring back every single starter for them on that side of the ball. But I still think cornerback and defensive end are two positions that they need to address. I consider those kind of premium positions on defense, and Chris Ballard has swung and missed quite often in drafting at both of those spots, particularly defensive end. So I think when you talk about this defense, not enough timely stops last year. Those would be the two areas, pass catcher for Richardson, and then again, those premium positions, honestly, it's a pass-happy league. So think about it of you need to get more explosive on offense, and you need to stop the explosive plays on defense. So pass rusher and cornerback would fall into that boat.
Ballard is kind of known as trade back in the draft guy. He'd rather have more picks and trade back. Any chance at all they make a move to go forward, whether it's to chase down one of those elite wide receivers or the tight end kid from Georgia, Brock Bowers? Any chance of that going down?
Boy, I would be surprised. You know, as you just laid out there, Hammer, it's so foreign for Chris Ballard to act in that manner. You're kind of waiting for him to do something differently. I think there's a stubbornness with process and not paying enough attention to results, needing to kind of tweak some of the processes. You know, within striking distance, if those guys start to fall and they get to whatever, 11, 12, 13, it'd be really enticing to me. But you know, Ballard said on Friday at his pre-draft presser, he feels like it's an incredibly deep, deep, wide-out draft class. That position, for what it's worth, has, you know, shown, you know, guys that go in round two and round three, they can be pretty impactful early on. So maybe he, you know, views that this year's draft class in kind of that realm. But still, with only seven picks, that's a small number for Ballard. You know, trade back seems to be his MO, and we'll obviously find out Thursday night what happens.
Last thing before we let you go, Kevin Bowen, 107.5 The Fan here on Hammer and Nigel. We'll circle back around to professional basketball, this time the WNBA. Have you heard anything in terms of, I'm sure ticket sales have exploded. I haven't heard any solid numbers, but, you know, with the number one draft pick, the most famous female athlete in the world right now, Caitlin Clark, coming to the Fever, have you heard anything about attendance and ticket sales in the visibility of the Indiana Fever?
Yeah, nothing on hardcore numbers, yeah. But I have looked at, like, secondary market. Last year, for what it's worth, they averaged 4,000 fans. I think it was the second fewest of the 12 teams in the WNBA, so obviously they're going to shatter that number. But what I've done, guys, and this is an exercise really anybody can do, just go on, you know, your secondary ticket market, StubHub, Ticketmaster, et cetera, and you look at the ticket prices, not only for Fever games, but I like looking at road games. So, like, for example, last week I looked at a game at the Washington Mystics. That ticket for the game before the Fever play Washington. Let's say it's Seattle. So Seattle's at Washington. That ticket is $12 in its specific seat. When the Fever come to town, that ticket was $118.
Wow.
Then I did it in New York. And in New York, the New York Liberty, they play at the Barclays Center where the Brooklyn Nets play. That ticket, again, for another WNBA team on the road, it's like $150. For the Fever coming to town, it's $560.
Ooh,
so, I mean, those numbers just tell you everything you need to know. And, again, what we saw right here just in Big Ten country is what the crowds look like at Mackey and Assembly Hall. So, yeah, training camp starts up here in a couple weeks. And, I mean, we're just, what, I think it's 3 weeks from tomorrow away from their season opener.
Where can we get more coverage at?
Yeah, 1075thefan.com. We'll have tons and tons of draft stuff up there. And obviously, recapping Pacers and Bucks. That is an NBA TV game and on Bally tomorrow night at 8:30. So some people I know got used to TNT or ESPN. You'll have to do a little digging if you don't get those channels to watch the Pacers tomorrow.
Kevin Bowen, 1075 The Fan, KB, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.